Any other matters that might be arising going forward. So today we expect nothing else but that particular report. I refer you then to that particular agenda in front of us. However, there are smaller Nyana House rules to just ensure that we are compliant with the laws and constitution that govern.
Secondly, Chairperson, I will just tender apologies. There are apologies from the members of this committee. It's from Mr. Honorable Wilson and Honorable Mokotsi, who indicated that they won't meet us due to ill health. And another one, we have a standing apology from the Deputy Minister, who's also not well. Honorable Liz Van der Merwe and Honorable Dudley indicated that they will join the meeting later. Due to prior commitments, they are serving in other committees. So that's the agenda for apologies for the day, Chair. Thank you.
Can I then allow us to proceed? Not unless there is any indication that something is not in order. There's none. I do now that we can allow the delegation from our department to take the floor. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. Thank you for the invitation. We are here as the department with a SASA to present to you the progress regarding our engagement with SAPO. We do appreciate the oversight of the progress thus far in ensuring that ultimately we are able to render what is expected of us as the SASA and the department to the citizens of the country, also in line with the Concord judgment. I will hand over to the CEO of SASA, who has with him a delegation that will take us through on the outcome of the workshop that we had with SAPO.
Members will remember that this is the work they are doing in preparation to actually respond to all the issues raised. That's why they will give us the report of the workshop with SAPO. So we mustn't see this as part of other work. It's an activity in relation to compliance. So can you be on the floor?
Honorable members, honorable chair, honorable members, good morning. Thank you so much for the opportunity for us to come and give progress report on the things that we've been doing, especially on the engagement that we've had with the post office. Because this is going to be like an engagement and the discussions on this, and I'm not going to dwell much, and the acting DG has given an introduction as to why we're here. I'd like to hand over to Zodwa to
must be very clear who reports to us. Because despite that report, we direct our questions to the accountable officer.
I'm well aware, Chair. Thank you so much for that.
Good morning, Chair and Honorable Members. The report that we'll be tabling it, to the committee is in relation to the workshop we had with FABO, as well as just to give in the report itself, there's just one slide that talks to other matters outside the SAPO engagement on the SASA readiness. This page indicates the feedback that we'll be giving to the committee in relation to the workshop that we had. In when we met the SAPO, we gave them what is the principles that we should be working on. Firstly, we want to work on the principle of you build, you operate, then transfer, with the aim of having the systems and processes towards institutionalization of the payment function within SAFA itself, then also to minimize SAFA's dependence on external parties. So for the execution of its constitutional mandate, also to minimize the risk of illegal sharing of beneficiary data and thus protect them from the abuse. Also, we wanted to look into minimizing the duplication of government infrastructure. Then also to ensure the payment functions within SASA is incubated and offered in a special support for development and implementation of the industry using the approved system. Also, the summary of the requirement of what we wanted from SABO. Firstly, we were saying while SASA is building its capacity, the processing of payments will be done through the existing banking SAPO and SAFA infrastructure. Then we also wanted to develop and host the technology to capture and authenticate biometric fingerprint images in a very secure environment. Also to develop and host technology required to implement and operate the control of the special account as well as the control account for SAFA. Then SAPO had then did their presentation. This is what they said they can offer. Firstly, its services to SASA will be done as a state-owned enterprise in compliance with the ICT white paper, which was approved by Cabinet, also in an orderly transition to for compliance with the SASA mandate. SAPO also said it has extensive branch infrastructure. They have the ability to expand to even rural areas. They also indicated they can provide grant recipients with a choice of payment options to also provide SAPO with full access to the national payment system through the post-bank solution. Also, SAPO indicated it is a designated participant in the national payment system. It also performs the interbank transactions, its clearing, and potentially providing all grant recipients with full interoperable access to all ATMs that are here in the country, to retailers and the point of sale devices for purchases. SAPO also is a full member of the of PASA, which is the Payment Association, also a full member of BASA, which is the Banking Association of South Africa, as well as a member of SABRIC, which is the South African Banking Risk Information Center. SAPO is also a full member of both Visa and MasterCard, and currently, Postbank has close to 4.7 million customer accounts of which it's hosted. Then, having listened to SAPO, then there were a summary of discussions. I will just summarize in this manner. Looking at the support capabilities were found to be as follows. It already has an established pay channel and that is effecting payment through. It also has known experience as a payment provider because before the CPS contract that was signed in 2012, SAPO had contracts and paying for some of the provinces for beneficiary the grant. So it has that experience of paying the grant itself. Also, it has experience in operating as a bank because it has a license of which it's working towards to be a full license. It also has beneficiary data that will be secured and it will be managed within the government space. And it has reliable and trusted technology in relation to connectivity using Telkom, and they have indicated that in the past year they have been sitting at 98% in terms of their system availability. Also, looking at their capability, the fact that we will be investing in government infrastructure, this collaboration will assist to ensure that the state infrastructure development plan is realized. Also, there's an opportunity to mobilize within government for support amongst other agencies within government, being CETA, CSIR, the government printing works, etc., to increase their capacity for the greater good of the government as a whole. It has also a sophisticated payment infrastructure. And lastly, there's a letter of agreement within SASA and SAPO, which is in place, and it will be a bonus for us to have such a relationship. Now, what we had identified, the functions which SASA will manage within itself, despite the fact that we still need the assistance of the likes of SAPO, SASA has indicated the three for now will be the things that we will be doing in the financial year of the 17 and 18. Opening up of a control stroke corporate bank account so that the monies, when they are transferred from National Treasury to GSG, they don't have a long-rooted, winding route of which has been happening currently. So SASA needs to have its own control and bank account. Whoever is our service provider will have to come and plug into that control account, whereby issues of interest, then they will be accruing directly for the account and accruing for the state. Then also what SASA will be managing is the special account, a ring-fenced special account for the beneficiary, which will allow limited functions to it. Then the third component is the Regulation 26A deduction. Within the SASA regulation, 10% of the grant amount can be incurred for a funeral cover. So this time, we want to do such deductions ourselves within SASA, and the process is well underway on this one. Then the progress to date, in relation to 26A deductions for funeral policy premiums, there's an approval given for procurement of the process. The project plan is there in place. Also, there are timelines. By September, the payment file will have changed and SASA will be doing this within in-house. The initial engagement with the company has already started that will be assisting us to undertake the payroll deduction. Specifications for interface are underway and the business rules have been defined because this also means one way or another, we have to work on tweaking the software for and it had been concluded. The procurement process will be ensuing. What I can indicate to members, the CFO has already written to National Treasury in relation seeking advice in terms of the government-to-government procurement process. The correspondence went to National Treasury on the 29th of May. Also in-house, we are working on the specifications. The specification committee has been appointed. They are looking at the specifications, which will then go through all the procurement process that are there in terms of the Treasury regulations and the PFMA. It is also expected that once the procurement has been done, the service provider will be on board by November 2017 to issue the first card. SASSA will continue working with those in those areas that it says it will have direct control on. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. CEO, do you want to have any additions before I go to give it to members?
Thank you so much, Honorable Chair. The reason why we decided on embarking on the build, operate, and transfer was the issue that we do not want to have another CPS that is going to be sitting on the side and we're sitting on the other side. Then everything belongs to that organization and we do not participate. On the build, operate, and transfer, we as SASSA as an organization will be part and parcel of whatever that is taking place. The skills transfer being prepared for us to take over, because we can't take over without having been part and parcel of the whole process. The issue of SAPO, we have confidence that SAPO will be able to deliver as they promised after the engagement that we had with them, though there are other things that we still have to clear with them on certain things that we wanted them to help us with through the specifications and the processes that we're engaging National Treasury with. Thank you so much, Chair.
Should you be able to build, operate, and transfer? If you transfer, would you have a special unit that would be monitored? That's the one question. Then I'll give to members. Can I ask Honorable Solele, Mme Masango, Abraham, Mme Matobo,
thank you so much, Chairperson, and let me welcome the presentation by SASSA. But I think Chairperson, moving forward in future, they must really try to make the presentation as much have more information on issues. Like for example, when you just say a line and not explain a sentence in detail, in a layman like myself, I would really want to have more of in that skeleton that you are doing, try to put a little bit of a flesh so that it becomes easier for us to understand some of the sentences that are written here, because if you just do a bullet, it doesn't do justice to some of us, because our understanding is not the same. I might misinterpret what you are saying because it's just a sentence, but it is just a one-line bullet. But if you try to put more effort on it, then it becomes a little bit simpler to ask Chairperson. I think, Chairperson, I'm very happy that the CEO has just said they've got confidence in the South African Post Office Services. Because even the Minister last week of Telecommunication, in his budget speech, when he was closing, he said it boldly that SAPO is ready to take over the payment system, the grant payment system.
in that auspicious season, really, one at that stage when the minister was making that announcement that they were ready, I was very happy where I was ahead, because at least now it means government will be able to take a responsibility of everything that has happened, Chairperson. I think, Chairperson, I will derail the meeting a little bit, because it seems as if from time to time we will always, when we are looking forward to come to a SASSA meeting and having to get a presentation, something will just come out from the media. Like I think yesterday and this morning, there is an issue of CPF, Net One, with the budget and what they accrued out of SASSA. Because I just want them to explain to us, because sometimes when you get information, not having, knowing exactly what has happened, I've picked it up that in the court ruling, I think one of the ruling was CPF should not have a profit in that contract that was illegal. I'm speaking under correction, Chairperson, because I'm not sure of the details of the court now, because they are not with us here. Apparently, it was said that in the ruling that they should not benefit out of that contract. They shouldn't have a profit, which then I think they have sent something to court, which is a one-pager that was not exactly what the court requested. And there are a lot of disparities between what KPMG as an audit firm has released a report that the company actually benefited 1.1 billion. I'm also speaking under correction. Maybe the figures might not be correct. They had a profit that amounted to that amount. Yet, at the same time, they did not disclose that in court. There are disparities between the figures that they have given to court and the forensic audit firm has revealed. Now, where I'm sitting, Chairperson, I'm just worried that there might be a lot of underlying factors that we don't know as honorable members, especially on the issue of the contract, that even within this year, maybe we also need to be taken into confidence on what is going to happen. Because my understanding was the court ruling in March this year was saying, or was it saying, they should continue with the terms of that ruling. Was it saying that? I'm also speaking under correction on that. Therefore, it means, as the committee that is providing oversight, we need to look at that challenge. That's why I'm raising it specifically, that for this year, if the terms are still the same as the terms that were there in 2014, then it means this company does not have to benefit out of this. So really, I need some explanation on that, Chairperson, to be taken on board. I don't have all the facts. I think as members, this is the opportunity that SASSA should take us through in confidence on what is really, really happening on the issue of the profit. On the issue of the profit, because I'm worried that we might find the same problem that we are sitting with the company that is not honest in using the taxpayer's money. They are not honest to court. Unfortunately, as this portfolio committee, we can't hold them directly accountable. I don't know whether there is such an opportunity where they can be called and make a presentation here in this portfolio committee. Their financial presentation is very important. It's very key, because that money is the taxpayer's money. We will hold DFD, we will hold SASSA accountable, but then where do they account for CPS? What is the role that SASSA is playing in making sure that they are not misleading the country? It was even worse, Chairperson, because they played a clip that made me angry sometime during February, where this guy who is going to go out with 203 million in bonus or whatever, handshake, you can name it, out of the work or whatever that they have done in SASSA. I really need us to get into that. But I do welcome this. It's very encouraging that at least one of our entities will be able to take over. And it means
government, we need to assist each other. Government has to build infrastructure with its own capacity. Thank you, Chair.
The member, you to help the Chair and the respondents, you want to know the status of the contract. Is it a new contract or an extension of the other contract that was nullified, but validity preserved for the purpose of paying our people? If it is an extension, you should carry everything it had. That's your major question. But I also request the Secretary to seek legal advice while we are proceeding, or request the parliamentary legal support to come to clarify whether we can invite SAPO, because I think even SAPO, because we must verify issues with SAPO, so that we don't have surprises as much as whether we will be out of order. I mean, just checking for our own security. Please check if we have a right to invite this company. So can I proceed? Mama Masango.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you to Sasa for the presentation, which is also very encouraging in that it seems that we have narrowed the process into working with SAPO. The question that I wanted to ask first is the one that colleague Toledi has asked. And then the second one is coming back to the SAPO thing, to say that now that we are where we are, and it looks like we are set on going forward, does it mean that the RFPs that one would have seen in newspapers and things like that, are they falling off? Or if we can just be put into this space to understand what this progress means, because it's quite a good and progressive progress that we are hearing today. And also, Chair, I want to know if it is early to find out how much, what costings are attached to the SAPO SASA workshop and the work that they are going to be doing. Could we get any indication yet, or is that for a later presentation to us? Because it would be interesting to know how much this process as it goes on is going to cost the taxpayer. And then, Chair, the last question is has to do with the slide that talked to the SAPO offering, where SAPO credentials in the banking and that space are given here, and the fact that one of the three things that SASA will still be doing is that of opening a control stroke corporate account. Why? I'm just asking because the reason was given that it's trying to cut short the processes of money going from one place to another. Why then not SAPO having that corporate stroke control account? Is there a risk that is being affected by doing that, or is it something that can be considered? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, and let me also appreciate the presentation and update. I'd like to say that I'm happy to hear that there will be minimizing of the duplication of governance infrastructure, and that is good because we should have done that many years ago. Also, the beneficiary data, how secure will it be in government? Which areas will SAPO take direct control of, and how will the system link into SAPO system? Will it be a system on its own, or will it be a combined system where you have access to it? And Chairperson, what guarantee are they relating to getting rid of the green card? I think that's my weekly question. And did we know that once the new system with SAPO is there, that there won't be any access to a green card? What security system is it that the people won't be exchanging their SAPO card for a green card? Otherwise, we would be back to square one with the Grindrod green card. Are there any goodwill from the CBN side that are expected from CPS? If yes, please elaborate to us, let me know, you know, how many millions it's going to send out to them to say thank you for handing over. And then also the confidentiality of staff are really very important. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much to Department of Social Development and SASA for the really good presentation that showed the progress and erased fears that we're having as the members of Parliament around the implementation of the qualification. But I think really you have shown the capacity to fast track this, and we wish you all the best to really implement it as it comes. And we are happy also because we know that when the court intervened, also you were in the process of insourcing the work as SASA, because I think the consultants are eroding the government's debt. It's very expensive. I think if you insource it, it will assist also to give the capacity to the state, because we are having a challenge of the capacity because of this outsourcing and using consultants and so on. But I want to check here, I'm interested in the securing of the data for beneficiaries, as you indicated. I'm not sure what mechanism you're going to use to really secure and protect the data for the beneficiaries. I'm also saying that because the court ruled against you when you were trying to protect the data for the beneficiaries, to say that no, they are allowed to do that. And also, at the moment, the data for the beneficiaries is sitting with CPS. If you are saying you're going to protect and secure, and how are you going to make sure that that particular information that is with CPS will be really secured? Because even when they're going to transfer it to you, it does not mean that they will not remain with the records. And also those that already now that are using this data illegally, how are you going to make sure that they will not continue using it? Because they do have already the information for the beneficiaries. We want you just to get that one, or also you have the mechanism that as a portfolio committee will oversight on you to say, you said you do this and this is, but I'm not sure how accurate it will be to say that they will be really minimal since the data is not with you. It's outside, as we are told. We'll make you account, but only to find that it is the data that was used when it was not yet transferred to you. Maybe if you can assist us to understand that. Also on slide number 4, I'm glad the chair has covered me, because I was saying to say what the SAPO has committed to SASA, we need to meet with them. But the chair raised it. I wanted to say that we need to meet with them so that we understand whether what they have agreed upon, they do have a budget to do that. I will cite an example of developing and host technology, and also, you know, to have that control and special accounts back office. We need to understand whether is this a costed thing from the SAPO. I think we need to meet them, really, Chair. I wanted to propose that we meet with them also. We ask them some questions to say that if we are saying this, is it budgeted for? It's something that you have a budget, because this thing just came out from the court to say now we fast track, and now we are saying please become a service a provider on this one, and they are saying they are ready. If they are ready, they must also commit. It must be a costed readiness that they will say to us. Also around the CPF, I also, my colleague, I think, have raised this one. These talks of, you know, accumulating and so on. But what is important for us as members of parliament, I think we have got a right to request an agreement between SASSA and CPF, so that we can see ourselves to say this is the agreement, because to say they have accumulated a profit out of it, maybe it's within the agreement. It's not something that is just coming outside. So of which we cannot say no to them if they accumulate, because I remember that there is a fee that is being charged. That is known. If they are accumulating, as the colleague is saying, that in the morning they were saying that they have accumulated so much, if they are accumulating within the agreement and the agreed fee, I don't think it will be a problem. But if there is other means, I think we have to deal with it. And I think really we have to appreciate the department for fast-tracking this, and as members of the committee, we'll continue to do oversight. I think we need to meet often so that we can be in a position to know the progress and so on. We appreciate really, as the minister entered, the fast-tracking of this implementation of the court decision. We never expected that it would be fast-tracked like this, you know. All of a sudden, everything is in place and so on and so forth. But I think we need to meet with the SAPO. Secondly, we must request the agreement. Even if it is the old agreement and the current agreement, we look at it so that we are in a position to do an oversight of it. If things go ahead, we are saying, no, this is what is in the agreement. We can't just oversight on something that we don't know. Thank you.
I think your latter question relates to Honorable Soledi, that in her understanding, this is the what is now currently being urgent, is the extension of the old agreement. So it should take the character of the old one. It brings me to a question, and I allow you, please, Honorable Member, I had acknowledged you, but I just want this question to be clarified. So the one that was nullified, however, its validity preserved for the purpose of paying our people. So which contract or agreement do you want department to present us with? But before I can get that clarification from you, can you repeat yourself with all due respect, Honorable Soledi?
I'm really not want us to dilute the original question, because the original question was saying in 2014, like I said, I'm speaking under correction, in 2014 when the contract was declared invalid, apparently there was a clause on the issue of the profit that the illegal contractor should not make profit. I'm speaking under correction on that. That's why I said we want SASSA to clarify that if it was like that, so that whatever that is in the media space now, we are able to be clarified as the members, because we do not have privy to the information, with the understanding that if in 2014 it was like that in the court order, then because the current court order also apparently, if I'm still again under speaking under correction, the same terms that were issued out in the court order in 2014, they are still carrying over for this financial year, for the extension, whether you call it an extension or a new contract, but that's still the terms that were there were still the same. So my point was, can we be clarified on that, especially on that, on the issue of the profit, so that we are able to sit down and be able to look at all what has happened, whether in this financial year now, where we have strengthened our oversight work, we are able to say yes, in that contract it was set like this, so it shouldn't happen, because it's a court order. You need to stick to the rule of law. That's my question, Chair.
I think the CEO understands current, then I will allow you after the Honorable Mama Mahat. Or if it's another
it
one.
It is a follow-up question.
No, it will be at a later stage to accept that. Honorable Mahat.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. I think what is going to be important will be for Sasa just to clarify to all faces to us. Because a question was asked and I had a question on it. The one on the deductions of the lower court and the one on the court judgment. Because the court judgment in 6.1 A and B say the data of beneficiaries must be collected. So there is a contradiction in the two judgments, the lower court judgment and the Concord judgment. So give us clarification that everyone, the public at large, know exactly what are the clarifications on it and what are you as a department going to do. Because you're sitting with two court judgments now. Then the other one is on the green card. As I asked it the last time, I'll ask it again. I think there's a need for a timeline. Because you gave the timeline as November. Do it still stand that the green card will be phased out by then? That we don't have the green card and just the SAFA card. Then the other is on the database. That this has to be clarified to the public at large. Because May month, the beginning of May, I think it was the around about the 8th, the 10th. It was business day. They the CPS CEO indicated that he is sharing the grant distribution technology and infrastructure. I won't say to whom or to what they're selling it. And we're speaking about this database that is not yours at the moment. What will happen to its technology infrastructure? Although it's not your competency and your database, I think it's going to be important that we are really clarified about this database that of course is protected, because database of our people belong to government. Thank you.
Can I allow ministry to respond? Honorable Madam, you are very welcome. This is your home, and when you are not there, we not only need your input and responses, but also your presence as part of the membership of this portfolio committee. Thank you so much. When you feel you want to make a decision, you indicate like all the members. The floor is yours.
Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, thank you so much for the questions and the comments about the presentation. Let me start from the bottom and go up because I can be easily be able to answer some of these questions that were asked. All the difficult ones, I'll split it amongst the delegation that I'm with. The one from Member Makhas on the issue of the contradicting judgments or order from the Concord and the lower court on deductions. I think we answered that one last week when we were with portfolio committee. We spoke about it and we said we discussed with the minister. We all agreed that we are going to appeal. We are appealing the case because as far as we are concerned, the Concord has given an order about this data. Then the judge in Pretoria comes up and give a different judgment onto this, which would put us into the state that we are in right now, which pushes us to appeal, because we thought Concord is the highest court in land, and we thought the judge would look into it, because we got the court order before the judgment. He gave the judgment. I thought he would have looked into it, but we are going to appeal it because we are concerned about it ourselves, about that issue of that judgment. Because if we don't, it means that CPS and the rest, all the other organizations that are doing deductions, they are in charge. We are not going to be able to deal with the green card. We are not going to be able to deal with the issue of deductions and all those kind of things that we are trying to do with the new dispensation within SASSA. That's the first one that I'll answer. The other ones I'll give to the CIO and my team to look into. Then on the issue of the contract, the court order said the contract is being extended with the old conditions, with all the conditions that existed before. That's how we understand it to be. That's how the addendum was working on the additions that the court order gave us, like the issue of data, like we had not had before. But the rest, we left it like that because it is still the same. The amount that we're paying, 1644 per member per month, and that's what we are paying as it is right now. And the court was clear on it. If CPS feels that the money is no longer a correct amount, they must go to the Treasury and discuss with Treasury. Then they must go to the court to get the court to judge whether they are going to be able to increase the money or not. So as far as we're concerned, everything is exactly like it was before. The issue of 1.1 billion that is there, we are not looking into it because we have not been involved in it. Remember the court order that we got from Concord. It said that at the end of the contract, which is 31 March 2018, we must get an independent organization that is going to scrutinize the financials of CPS. And at that time, all these things are going to be looked into. But as it is right now, we don't worry ourselves with anything that is happening because the court has given us the leeway to be able to do what we're supposed to do. We're concentrating in the insourcing and phasing out of CPS. My take would be that the 1.1 billion it might be emanating for them to have submitted on the corruption watch case or whatever cases that they have with the court. But it's not us that has been discussing on the issue of profit. We are not yet there. We'll only deal with it at the time that we get the financials from them. Because if it's an extension, it means that it starts from the original date up to 2018, because it's like a continuous contract that is there. And that is the case of the issue of the contract. I'm not too sure whether I've taken care of all those questions that were pertaining to the 1 billion and the issue of existing contract and whatever that the other contract that the members might be looking at. Then there was a question that came from the chairperson about the special unit that is going to be monitoring the SAPO issues. I had already said that on the build, operate, and transfer is not something that is done on the side, that is done, then it's given to you as a complete issue. You get involved from the start when you start building it and operating it. So it will be done by SAPO, but there will be members from SASSA that will be forming part and parcel. I think the when the CIO explained all other issues about data, he's going to talk about the war room and all the other issues that how it's going to work in terms of the post office. And the issues of RFP member Masango saying on asking whether the RFPs are going to fall. As far as I know, we've done RFI, and I think Sizoto is going to be able to take us through on the issues. But the RFPs, we are not going to rule them out. Remember, there is an issue that there are things that we are taking over as SASSA, like the issue of the account. There was another question was saying, why are we not using the SAPO to look after the account? The reason why we want it to be a control account, a corporate account for SASSA, is to avoid the problems that we are having right now about the issue of interest, about who's responsible for the account, and the reconciliation of what is taking place on the account. We want to take charge of it so that we are the ones that owns it. It is possible that it's going to be sitting at Postbank, but it's still going to belong to SASSA, not to SAP. So we are the ones that are going to be in charge and control of the account. So that when let's say, for argument's sake, there is something that does not go right between ourselves and the post office in the middle of the contract. Let's say on the second year, they promise something that they cannot be able to deliver. We come back to you, say that this marriage is not working. This is what we want to do going forward. That account must be belonging to us, so that we do not find ourselves in the situation that we find ourselves with Grindrod, and we are not be able to take control and take charge of the money that are coming. And it shortens again the issue that it comes from at Reserve Bank via Treasury, via DSD, to SASSA, SASSA to NetBank, NetBank distributing to Grindrod. And you see that it takes a long time. That's why the 4 days that we are talking about. And there is the other, over and above the 4 days, there are other days, because we do not pay all pay points at the same time. We don't pay them within 4 days. We pay them over a month up until, I think, the 21st, 17th. Until the 17th. So the money is sitting somewhere. So if we're still waiting for that money to be, we'll just transfer it just before it's distributed to the members, and we'll be in control of it, and we'll be in charge. There is an issue of the special accounts. Special accounts, the reason why we've agreed that we as EXCO, that this is the way that to go on the creating the special account, is to try to control the issue of the green card. Because if the special account, we are going to be putting things on that account before even it goes to the members. There will be regulations that will be put onto that account, and that is going to control the accounts, not anybody to be able to put anything that they want to put onto the account. What we've been discussing mostly has been the issue that this account will be a one-way account. The money comes in from SASSA side and it goes to the other side. There is nothing that will come from the other side coming into the account. And trying to control that, we're still discussing with some Reserve Bank and see if the Reserve Bank would be able to help us with that issue. They did tell us that it's possible that we'll be able to do that. So we've been basing our discussions along the guidance that we've been given to us at the time. Can I request Zodwa to take some few questions that she remembers? Then I'll get the CIO. Then maybe Busi from Legal can say something around the contracts. There will be no, in our terms, Member Abrams, on the issue of goodwill of CPS. As far as we're concerned, there's a contract that we have, and that contract, is, in terms of the court order, says that it's an extension. If it's an extension, there's nothing more that needs to be given to anybody. So as far as I'm concerned, there will be no goodwill or royalty that will be paid to CPS, because CPS will be phased out. If it's phased out, it's phased out on the current contract. There's nothing else that we have. Yes, of course, the phasing in and phasing out, we still have to discuss with them deeply, as we discuss them on a monthly basis and on the things that we do. So,
Chair and honourable members, the issue of the RFPs out there in the market, we are not in a position to answer it with certainty now, because the RFP process, SAPO must indicate first in terms of what they will be able to do and what not. And when we now evaluate, we'll be able then to see that yes, they are able to do all 4 things if you want to buy 4 things. If not, they are only able to do 2 after maybe the due diligence and the technical evaluation, then we'll be taking the RFP out there in the market. But we cannot now answer with certainty on that one. The rest of the questions, some of them that I wanted to respond to the CEO
CIO has done that.
CIO? Thank you, CEO, Honorable Chairperson, and Minister and members, good morning. With regard to the issue of data and information, this is an invasive issue across the board because it is related to fine prints in various ways. You get into a shop, you contract yourself for something, there's a fine print that says, can I use your information for marketing purposes or this, that, and the other? Now, then you're without considering, then somebody put a mark there and so on, and then the next moment you get an SMS that says, there's a special this, that, and the other. So our people, particularly the LSM 123 that we're dealing with, in many instances, I think they could have fallen into a trap in agreeing to the fact that their data can be used, and probably in taking a bank card, you know, that would have been some of the fine prints that they were not able to see. However, taking this process into government, we will make sure that our people that we serve, because we know and understand them, are educated properly, and there are no subtle clauses with regard to their interaction with us, be it in terms of the SASSA card or how they transact. So this will be done holistically in terms of how we educate our people, not hide anything behind the fine print. But to be precise in terms of protection of the customer data, beneficiary data will be protected between us and the government existing repositories, such as the Trust Center. And in Trust Center, the data is fortified there by various layers of security. And ordinarily, over and above that, when we come to transactional data, which is currently still with CPS, we are taking that data over, but we will look forward to legal instruments at our disposal and the rule of law to assist in protecting the use of this particular data. But what we as SASSA and the alliance of government institutions that we're going to be working with, we will make sure that there is no exploitation, because there's no reason that we can use our beneficiary data for any other financial benefit other than to use it to effect the payment of grants and also to update their status as it is required, and also use it for our own planning going forward. So it is quite unfortunate that the beneficiary data was used when it was in the hands of an agent that was trusted by SASSA to deal with our beneficiaries. However, the intervention of taking everything into government is going to go a long way in ensuring that there is no use of that. And this will manage through contracts that will be very explicit in terms of what is it that data can be used for. And therefore, I think I have answered the question with regard to what we are going to be doing to protect the customer data. We'll store it in the Trust Center, and then we'll ensure that there are no fine prints that tempt our beneficiaries to agree to for their data to be used elsewhere. I think the other part, the CEO has answered it in that where it has already been agreed that, or there's been a decision in court that our attempts to prevent the use of data in that form is going to be subjected to an appeal. And I think we'll look forward that this may turn into our favor. Thank you very much. The war room and the monitoring unit, because you are IT is involved with the post office.
All right, thank you. Through you, Madam Chair. As we go forward and we put modalities into the government-to-government collaboration, we will, because of the agents of the matter, operate the program in a war room way, where joint subject matter experts between government entities that were mentioned earlier on and SASSA will be on a full-time basis operating on a war room style, and then monitoring the progress project in terms of delivering not only the constitutional court requirements, but also ensuring that by the 31st of March 2018, those deliverables that must be in place are done. So we are going to set up a joint project team, managed through the program office of SASA, where Ms. Mbulani is involved, and then the rest of the other supporting government institutions, as we mentioned, CSIR, government printing work and so on, will have a joint multidisciplinary team to monitor the implementation of the progress. Over and above what the Concord had said, that there will be other two monitoring teams, which will be technical teams and legal experts that will be monitoring the entire thing end to end. But internally, we'll work on the basis of joint task teams within a war room set up and make sure that we give dashboards and reports back to the oversight and whoever interested stakeholders may be. Thank you.
Thank you so much, CIO. And Member Masang, on the costing that we are going to report to you as we are doing on a weekly basis, and as soon as we finalize those costings, we'll be coming back and head it over to you.
We must also, honourable members, remember that when we approved our APPs, we had double-checked what was budgeted for SASA activities, and this becomes one of the activities. But all we will see when they give the report is to say this particular monitor was paid from this account, from this item, and this particular activity, which the honourable member refers to, they will exactly tell us from which item, because I think what we have approved in the House is the fact that SASA budget was meant for SASA activities, which now included all the judgment holistically. So I think that part will be coming as those critical questions will be very relevant when we start our oversight in terms of ensuring what expenditure trends they are having on what. But there's also one thing I think the CEO will shake his head if it's not there. I think this question of this account, as raised by Honorable Massa, will it help us curb the problem, Honorable Minister, of people being taken to queues because they are about to die, because people believe what was due will not be received when they pass away. Now, because the account was not necessarily in their department, I think now that you will be in charge protecting your beneficiaries, that because it's not known whether when you didn't receive it and then you get that of that month, does it really go back to the coffers of the department or it disappears in the process? Because we always want our people to know the truth about the processes of our government. But Honorable Trollet, the question, before I take new questions, I'm going to allow the follow-up, because we have now been responded to, then you will be having follow-ups. Because Honorable Bata, Honorable Jamin, there is this, the issue of media reports about your work and about our role is always out there. And we, as this portfolio committee, want to have an opportunity not to allow it to remain in the space for a longer period without us being able to say, but this is what we know. This is what we got from the horse's mouth. Hence the question. So if we get a clarity, we're able, that's why I've called eyes so that we can respond to what Honorable Chelebi has raised. And I'm giving her that privilege. If there are no follow-up questions, I'm going to take absolutely a new set of questions. Thank you.
Yeah,
you want to be on? We want to see. It's okay. Then Honorable Chelebi,
okay, Chairperson, mine will not be exactly a follow-up, but a comment to Tatu Magwaza. Tatu Magwaza, we really need to be bothered. It can't be correct to say you are not bothered by that one. Anything that is said in your name, you must be bothered about it. Because it might be said in a wrong way, or it might be said in a correct way. So I'm saying that because you are trying to build a brand here that has already been tarnished by a lot of things. Now we are moving, we are building a new brand that we want it to institutionalize, to become part of government. So anything that is in the space, because you are building this brand, you really need to look at it. If you've got your own PR, you are able to put a perspective. Like, for example, now, you are coming with a point that we have forgotten it, the point that there should be the independent people that are going to look at the financials at the end of that. Yes, you did make that into the presentation, but remember there were a lot of things that were clouding the important thing that you are supposed to say. So in other words, what I was raising is you need to respond now to the outside world to say, this is what we are going to do. This is what the court has mandated us to do as SASA, because we need to know about those financials, but we can't do them at this stage. We are going to do it at a certain stage when it's really necessary for it to be done at that time. Because unfortunately, it's a lot of people that have come in, there are a lot of organizations that we don't know, Chairperson, some of them, we are seeing them for the first time, they are so interested in what is happening in the space of social development and SASA. And some of them, they've got their own motives, whether they are good motives or bad motives, but the issue is, as we are building this brand, let's try the space that is there for us. Let's try to get out and work on that space, occupy the space that this is what where we are doing. We are learning from this, but this is exactly what we are going to do. Thank you.
No, thanks very much, Chair. I got a follow-up in relation to the question that was posed and responded to by the Chief Executive Officer. That one on page 3. The interesting plan premise on the principle of health operated was blah, blah, blah. You have responded, CEO, to say that SASA will be involved from beginning to its logical conclusion. But what for me is still outstanding is the specific timeline in relation to that. Because look, in other instances, the BOT takes about 20 years, 15 years, 10 years, depending on the scope and level of task assigned. But with regard to SASA now, where you will be involved from the initial stages and all the different phases, what is a realistic timeline? Because in my view, Honorable Chair, it remains open-ended unless it's tied up. Yeah, so that's that. And then, Chair, that was a follow-up. Then if you open the round for the next, there are two, three questions.
I will allow,
thank you.
I will allow the Honorable Minister throw light. Honorable Minister, you are not, you can, whatever you think in this whole discussion, you can actually clarify matters. Honorable Masango, I'm not ignoring you. I'm going to take the next set. Probably it will also be part of what the Minister is about to say. Thank you very much. Madam Minister, on the floor.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable members and officials of the department.
Thank you, Minister. Sorry, the committee, in terms of the law, I allows that the content advisor may throw some light, may give us information as when she sees it, because she's actually there to do exactly that. So we won't be surprised when she raises her hand and I acknowledge her.
Thank you. Firstly, Chairperson, I would like to request again that ESAPO must come and present a full report to the portfolio committee. I thought they were coming with us here. And then secondly, the Constitutional Court has written a letter instructing us to sit together with all these other people that have submitted names. We thought we were going to meet last week, but because we were preparing for the budget vote, we could not have that meeting. But I've given instruction that we have that meeting as soon as possible. And that one other thing is that the Interministerial Committee has had its meeting, and departments that are part of the Interministerial Committee, it's Post and Telecommunications, Home Affairs, Local Government, Treasury, State and Security for Cyberspace, Science and Technology, for coming up with some of the technologies that we are going to need and can be done in South Africa, Small Business, and CETA for SOPEN, because right now SOPEN is with CETA. But the challenge that we are having is that when you work with CETA, they don't do the work on their own. They also look for a service provider. And therefore, we think that this should be looked into. And these are all the areas that are going to be covered by the CIO. And the court said in its judgment, CPS is the extension of government. And therefore, I think the portfolio committee must call them and ask questions from them on a number of issues. That also, we've had a bone of contention with the department, the issue of the database, because they would not have had this database if they did not have the biometrics and the information of the grant recipients. And therefore, the database they have comes from that biometric information. It's not that just flying data that they are having. And also on the issue of Chairperson, of the issue that is raised by Honorable Mabilo, I think it is a fair question. And we have said government or state has three arms, is the judiciary, parliament, and the executive. And we have agreed that before we take the report to court, we must start here so that the legislature is aware of what we are going to submit to court. We're also going to brief the IMC because it would be proper for us to get a direction from Parliament even before we take the report to the judiciary. And an issue of a timeline, very important. And therefore, I think when we come next time, we would have set all together and come up with a program with a very clear timeline. That will help all of us to do a proper work. And one other thing that I would like to raise is that when we started waiting, or when we advertised for this tender, there were different amounts that were paid in different provinces, but the highest was 45 rand. And then we brought it to 16 rand and some change, 1644, for a period of 5 years. It has been a capped amount. We agreed that even if there are problems, the rand goes down and whatever, the amount will be kept. But it's important for the committee to get a full brief of other monies that are subtle, that you don't see in the whole thing. Because when you decide on a 1644, you would think that it's just a 1644 only. When there is when there are other things that are subtle. One other thing that has been happening is that Grindrod Bank has been giving back interest. But as the CEO is saying, there was agreement that at the end of the tender, we will appoint an independent company that will look into the whole process. And that is going to show us whether Grindrod has been giving us the total amount of the interest they have been building or that came out of the transactions. So those are all things that we will be aware of when this comes to an end and proper processes are followed. And I must say that much as some of the things do not have never been our purview, Honorable Member Soledi is speaking the truth. For now, we need to try and be able to respond to everything. And maybe our culture has been to keep quiet when there are media statements, because we don't want to continuously keep on arguing in the media space. But maybe having our person from communications here will help us so that we are able to respond properly to challenges that might face us or to what is happening. I also want to say that I have established a communication with the Minister of Justice, more particularly because of judgments that come from the justice system that are not the same. Because we are unhappy about the latest judgment on the database and how it should be used. And we had thought that a constitutional court is the highest court in the land. So it confuses us if the lower court comes up with such a
so that we continue to go ahead. We had actually, when saying Parliament must look at UNIT, advise us in calling these people, not that we were not clear of our mandate, but given the challenges today, we want to be double sure that what steps we take because of our mandate. So we had already said we seek legal advice insofar as inviting SAPO if there are any legal issues. And second, that we might be violating as much as inviting the actual company, because the laws allow us that we can actually invite anyone and ask questions in this country. But we would always want to be within law, legally guided all the time, so that we're not overconfident and end up committing mistakes. The communication issue, Minister, we're happy you're touching on it, because it's time that we speak to South Africans as well as this portfolio committee and to clarify issues out there. That's why we will always want to be given the right information so that our people begin to communicate with us as their reps as well, as the portfolio committee. I'm now calling for second questions. Second layer of questions were clear with this one. We can't go for follow-up more than one. So Honorable Masango was having hand up long time ago. Honorable Malilo said he's got questions to ask other than what we're dealing. Metro that is actually joining them. Can I acknowledge more hands? This is a new type of questions other than the ones. But meanwhile, can I allow Honorable Masango to be on the floor?
Thank you, Chair. The question that has been at the back of my mind is a question that takes us, I think, two or three meetings ago, where at the time the CEO was responding to a question on the termination or ending of the contract with the work streams, where he said at the time he was tentatively thinking of sending letters to terminate the contracts at the end of May. So I just would like to know what is the progress on that. Thanks, Jay.
Honourable member.
No, thanks, Chair. I think I'm covered to a large extent. Safe to say, as a member of this portfolio committee, I'm always comfortable as and when I get information that will expedite the demise of CPS. That is it, and it gives me comfort in that regard. Chair, I think, as I indicated, I'm largely covered. The discussions are underway, but on the summary of discussions under SAPO capabilities, we're found to be as follows: has experience of operating as a bank, etc., etc. I'm just interested in relation to while the discussions are taking place. Does SASA envisage the provisioning of additional financial services to the beneficiaries? For example, the portion of sale. Because we have seen in the past, I mean, we grew up with grandparents, we are beneficiaries of social grants, pension, at the post office. The old system was a book, we all know that. And then you had the option to from that book to deduct, to say something, etc. Although it was after 3 months, it was racial, the whites every month, the colored second month, the Africans after 3 months. So I'm just trying to check whether in your engagement you are envisaging that the notion of saving. I know obviously, in terms of the technology, you'll digitize the whole question of the payment system. And also, are there also
possibilities of opening access to the beneficiaries for certain type of services, especially like the, what I can say, like a credit in a positive sense, because my own understanding is that the rates that will be paid by SASSA will be very low. Roughly, Chair, is that in relation to the current ruling of the Constitutional Court, we know in the past SASSA has been paying about 26 rand and 35 rand, and now it is kept at 16 rand 50. The Minister has tried to respond to that. Roughly over 5 years, that will constitute a saving of 3 billion, more or less. The question that arises is that are you factoring in already that kind of a saving in terms of quantifying it, and also how you plan to use it? The last one is related to what the chair raised, but it was a comment. I just want to check CEO and your team to say, how recent is your survey, your citizen survey for recipients? The last one that I checked was 2004. It relates to the time spent by the recipient to arrive at a pay point, to praise, to process, and to travel in between. There's a whole range of metrics that were looked into. I just want to check how recent is your citizen survey for recipients. Do we shorten the time of 37 minutes, which was in the past, traveling, etc.? If you are not ready, then in the next meeting you can give me the actual. But it's a relevant question, because we know some of the beneficiaries as recent as last year. Two of them died in the queue. So it will be important that as members of this committee, we are praised and we change and fast track some of these aspects. Lastly, at the heart of this engagement between yourself and SAPO, for me, as an activist, it will relate to the transformation of the financial sector, inclusion. Because we are talking about plus minus 130 billion that you are paying out. And this is a follow-up of the question that I asked last time, to say, how then do we ensure that the money or the resources circulate in the communities where we reside? I know this is a difficult question. How do we ensure that the money are circulated within the communities where the recipients are, in order to boost the economy? Thanks. That will be my last question, but I also want to conclude by saying I also want to add my voice to the progress made since our last meeting. Thanks.
The last question that I want to check from the SASSA delegation and the minister, now that they've engaged with SAPO, are they also engaging other government departments that will be helping them in facing in now the institutionalization of grants? So I just wanted to check that, are they beginning to engage all those stakeholders that they've identified that they are going to be useful moving forward? The last thing also, I really want them to occupy this space of bringing SASSA. While we were just around February, during all that halabaloo process and everything, they were able to come, there were adverts that SASSA was doing with all the different languages in terms of people are going to be paid and everything. Can we also look at that moving forward, going the same route to the beneficiaries, talking to them, whether I think it's going to be a good thing to talk to the beneficiaries, because it also gives them courage when they see that SASSA is there communicating to them directly with the languages that they understand. Thank you.
I think the minister alluded to the other by referring to the interministerial, and then mentioned the departments like Home Affairs and so on. But also, I think what the members are saying, that communication was very strategic, that was used to inform people that they would be paid.
Mm-hmm.
And the very notion of assuring them to say, this is the date, following the month, when you will be paid. People came carrying this date as if it was the first time to know that there will be a next payment. So that was an indication of a need of an intense communication between the beneficiaries and the department. But also my last question is, that is a policy issue, Honorable Izamin. Uzodwa mentioned that in your presentation, an issue about this funeral scheme and deductions of some sort. But I've been minister to a conference of funeral service practitioners of South Africa. It's a national body. They were complaining that although 26A is really relevant, but they were not taken on board. And post-implementation, because it was urgent, they could it's within their space as a Banwadi. And therefore, they could have been taken on board. They are also saying this new scheme, important question for them to the chair, was whether we are taking over their space, etc. But I promised them that indeed the department through the minister will be able to assure them that if there's still water under the bridge, they can come and engage with the committee. We will provide all answers because we will also be briefed. For the purpose of this portfolio committee, you can also say something in relation to deductions. That is my question. The last question, because indeed our members have just arrived, you are very welcome. We're not rushing that so that you say nothing. But it's only because there's still some work that is outstanding, which requires an in-committee. But also, you are allowed to put your question. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And in fact, my apologies for arriving late to you and the Minister. I was at another meeting. Chairperson, you have just alluded to some of the questions that I wanted to ask, but I wanted to zoom in on the issue of the illegal and immoral deductions. Currently, the situation is that these deductions continue. In fact, our constituency offices are flooded by these complaints. And I needed to know in terms of the number of complaints that SASSA is dealing with each month. I want to have an indication in terms of how many complaints do you get from grant recipients each month, how many are successfully dealt with, and how many people are refunded. And I'm asking this question in the context of once before when we spoke about these issues, we heard on countless occasions that affidavits remain the biggest concerns why people aren't able to process these complaints. Because they have to go to police stations there, the process is a very long process, they have to wait in queues, these are it's our elderly people, it's disabled people. So I want to ask, at one stage we were also informed that people will no longer have to go to post offices, they can do the affidavits in-house at SASSA branches. And I want to know if that is taking place, because we need to know that a grant recipient who is every month without their money because of illegal deductions are assisted at SASSA offices, if I can get an indication on that. I want to know in terms of, I also want to welcome the presentation. I think
for me, the fact that we are moving closer to the South African Post Office in terms of them taking over the payment of grants, for me, is a positive development. I've always felt that this type of government work must reside with the Post Office. But I need to know if the plan that we have presented today here is costed, whether it's a costed plan, and how much will this entire process of taking over the grants cost us. I know we had some disagreement about numbers previously, so if we can just hear in terms of, is this plan costed and how much will it cost? Finally, Chairperson, I want to align myself with your views that we are capacitated in terms of the rules of Parliament to call anybody before this House, anybody before this committee, and I would support you that we call CPS, the Minister has asked us to do so, that we call them before this committee to deal with CPS, not only in terms of the illegal deductions and the 1.1 billion profit that they made, but we must also remember the 1.1 billion that they've made was only because of them paying out grants. We don't even know how much they've made from the illegal deductions and all the other services that they provide. So I think this warrants a full-scale investigation from our committee, and if all else fails, I think Parliament as an institution must establish an ad hoc committee to probe this issue. But those are just my thoughts on the matter. If I can just get some facts and figures in terms of the illegal deductions and the costing, I would be grateful, Chairperson. Thank you.
Also, Honourable Liz, when some questions require time to gather information, they will reflect. I'm not speaking on their behalf. I'm only expressing their right. And also to say, if a question was answered in your absence, definitely sure I would be available to say this is what they have heard said, because I think there is some questions that you were not aware. In fact, the content advisor can actually give us the question, I mean the answer as it was. Now it's an opportunity for you to respond, Honourable Minister, and your team, because why I say Honourable Minister, knowing the accounting office is present, is because some issues were actually policy issues. That's why I thought she might have a better contribution. So you are on the floor.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. With the issue of deductions, I think members know that we lost the case. And I think we should know that we started talking about this thing long ago. The first step was the National Credit Regulator. And that is a government arm. We thought we were going to win the case, but we lost it. That's the first issue. But also, deductions started long ago, even before 26A. Today, we have a big challenge of companies like Cornerstone that are still deducting money from the beneficiaries' accounts. And you don't pay a month, you pass on, you don't get your money. And it depends on the state of the family. If they can afford, they go and pay that amount of money. But also, Chairperson, there's a question you asked. And another one that was raised by member Mabilo. Sometimes families are very unfair to us. They take a very ill person to the pension payout point. And that person would pass on whilst on the queue. Because what we have done is to try and ensure that we get the information about why a recipient passes on, because it should concern us that people are passing on the line, on the queue. Now, with the loan sharks, you come, you go there because they take your card. Or yes, they take your ID. So you go there, you get a card, go and get your money, and come back and leave your card. And therefore, when an older person passes on, it becomes difficult for members of the family to come and claim the final grant. Because I'm told that a die will add to this. If a person passes on maybe 2 days before pensions are paid, we pay out that pension because we know it's going to assist. But it becomes even difficult to do a death certificate because the ID is not there. It is with a umashonisi, the loan shark. And therefore, that is why we've been trying to fight very hard on this issue. Number three, there are SASSA officials that are commissioners of oaths. And I think the CEO has already started reviewing that so that they reoccupy that space and deal with affidavits right at the pension payout point. So because we've been going through a long, cumbersome process that has really compromised us. So when we bring back this status, it's going to reduce this long process, and also we are put through a very unfair process of saying people are investigating. How do you investigate a deduction that was made for electricity in someone who does not have electricity? So that's why we think that this is going to assist us. Chairperson, Section 26A, has been abused a lot. But we've never allowed burial scheme, okay, we've never blocked burial schemes to be part of Section 26A. Actually, I was thinking that the questions that were asked by Honorable Member Mabilo are still coming to the Portfolio Committee. Because it was presented to Cabinet about savings and government taking responsibility of the burial thing so that we have the challenges we might face. So that is still coming here. But with the children, Honorable Mabilo, it's an investment. So we are going to take anyone who is going to give us interest with children, because we thought that instead of complaining every day about the grant that ends at 18 years, which is the prime year of the girl child, we are going to continue getting a rejection and whatever. So we thought that from the beginning of the grant, there must be savings up until 18, because the Grant Act ends at exactly 18 years. And most children complete a grade 12 at 19 years. Or 20. And then when they have to go to tertiary, some had to come to us to ask for money to buy toiletry. So you want children that are grant recipients to have a good start in life. But we've had a discussion that there must be strict conditions on this investment. We don't want to see children dying just around the age of 17 because family members think they can claim that money. But also, we want our children to understand that they are going to get this money provided they complete school. So this is going to also encourage them to continue going to school. So that is just meant for that, so that our children have a good start in life, so that at least they are like other children when they go to tertiary institutions. The issue, Honorable Member Mabilo, of ensuring that the grant money circulates at a community level is not a difficult question. Already we had a work stream that focused on that, and we had a team from SASA that has actually had meeting with shop owners. We're just about to finish all the provinces, talking to them about what we want to introduce. And again, if we could be given an opportunity to come and give a full account of that, because it's going to make a huge difference in the quality of lives of our people, more particularly the youth. But one other thing that is an advantage is that South Africans have been complaining about the abuse of the grant. And that's going to give us an opportunity to monitor how grant money is used. And then secondly, unemployment, more particularly of young people and women, we're going to go a long way in trying to create a space for that. But those are programs that need a government to be hands-on. We have been to Mexico, Brazil, India, Novo, it's time to implement so that we make a big difference in the quality of lives of our people, because they have also used social security to improve the quality of lives of the people. So we've made some additions as the department, and even the committee that looked into how we can revolutionize SASA looked into this, and they benchmarked. So this is a very possible, it can work. The payment of grants and the survey, I'm not sure of what's going on now. I know the challenges that we are having that are man-made. The issues of our workforce saying at 12 o'clock, the machines are not working, you better go home. that has to be addressed by us. We have to monitor them. That is why people keep on coming back to apply for grants. But also even the issues of queues, we had agreed with our staff that a pension or any queue of our frontline offices, you start with older persons, and then people with disabilities, and then people with babies, and children that go to school, and then you can serve the others, but they don't do that. So it means, again, we have to try and motivate them. But now our offices or pension payout points are 5 kilometer radius, which is the UN requirement. But the challenge is that in some of the areas, even if it's 5 kilometer radius, we have to start in town first before going there. So in those areas, we relax that and ensure that there are more pension payout points. But people having more time or having to come many times to a pension payout point, it's because of the behavior of some of our officials. And Chairperson, I've asked from the acting DG. We lost one of our officials in the Eastern Cape, Mr. Yawa, who is the regional manager of SASA, and the CEO has been to visit the family. I thought that the committee must know about that. CEO.
Thank you so much, Minister, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I think Diane is going to tackle a little bit of the numbers, if she has got them off cuff. If she doesn't, we'll bring them when we come back again. And I was discussing with Zodwa earlier about the issue of taking over of SASA by SAP. SAPA is not taking over SASA duties. And we have said build, operate, and transfer. So they are helping us in the interim while we are getting ourselves ready and helping us. They are not going to. It's our mandate as SASA to pay grants. It remains our mandate to pay grants. They will never take over from us, and we are the ones that are responsible for it. I just wanted to say that just to pass through. Diane.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Minister. Just to give a little bit of numbers, and I don't have the monthly breakdown, but I certainly can bring that, can send that through to the committee. But in terms of the number of disputes that we've dealt with since 2015 up until 2017, a total of 129,550, and these are the ones that have been reported to us.
Can you come closer to the mic?
My voice is not so good today. The total number of disputes that we've dealt with since 2015 to date is 129,550. Of these, the vast majority are around airtime disputes. Of the 129,000, 62,109 related to airtime disputes. 14,802 were for ATM disputes, where either the card is swallowed or people say that they put their card in and they got a slip but they didn't get the money. And those ones we have to deal with the bank with. And then electricity disputes totaled 9,691, but where it was a combination dispute with airtime and electricity off the same, off the account of the same beneficiary.
Just a minute.
Yes, sorry, Chair.
Oh, I'm not necessarily wanting to interrupt you, but I can see the magnitude, Honorable Sisley, of the information, and with all due respect, we all require that. Why, because it's your question, Honorable Member, why don't you allow the Honorable Member to put this in writing, give it to the Secretary,
so that we can distribute it. But because the information is available, if you wanted a follow-up question, please ask it, because the information, even if you are writing, it's very volume that we require to get it on writing. So I appeal to you to, if you had all the information, would you want another question so that we move towards closing? Thank you.
No, Chairperson, in fact, I was still, I was still writing down the numbers. I think she was just giving us a snapshot of the actual extent of the problem. I don't have a problem with her to, submit the full details to the committee. She said she had, will do so, because she'll be giving us the monthly breakdown. I think we just needed a snapshot of the real extent of the problem which she was giving us. So I think she'll probably be wrapping up. So if we can give her another few seconds to finish, Chippers.
Yes, because I think we need to move towards closure. Please do that, Honorable Yuste. I think you would be the last speaker, not unless you wanted to speak before.
I just want a follow-up question on that question. If the department can just give clarity on, if they say that the issue has been resolved or they've dealt with a particular deduction issue, does that mean the beneficiary actually got the money back? Thank you.
Yes, because my question was twofold. I said firstly, how many complaints, how many have been dealt with successfully, and then how many refunds, or any refunds, if any. So if we can maybe just focus on that in the answer, and then we'll get the full breakdown of details sent to the committee chair.
In my view, and can I please make a ruling on this one? This information is very important. Your question is important, but it requires breakdown. And indeed, we had a specific report that we wanted, which we have now exhausted. Remember, looking to your agenda, we were going to receive progress report, and I've allowed deviation. But without being arrogant on this one, the information you're asking is critical for our operation. And even the one which is the follow-up by Honorable Houston, mine is to request and appeal to you that let's leave this information and allow that when we are having the next meeting, we ask the sector will communicate as something that has been not attended to. And I want to close that discussion, please.
Chairperson, I'm going to respect your ruling. I just sometimes feel that whenever I'm asking something pertaining to SASA, I'm always shut down. But anyway, I respect your ruling, and we'll get the information. But the point also is we cannot really move forward if we don't really know what the problems are currently still in moving forward. But I accept your ruling, and we will then wait for the information to be sent to the committee.
There are many ways of dealing with this matter. I acknowledge you. Because you have the right also to write to the minister or to write to whoever to get the information. But you can't hold us. We're here very early. So I accepted that you do whatever, but you can't now begin to take everyone backward, honorably. And secondly, I feel very, very worried when you say everything you ask, because you are always privileged in this committee. When you say you are attending another committee, I actually allow you to jump the line. But if that's how you feel, I think we can take it on bilateral, me and yourself.
No, Chairperson, me and you, we always work things out, so it's fine. I was actually more tongue-in-cheek, but it's fine. I'm not fighting. What's the problem?
Point of order. Before the point of order, please, can I allow, because I had not acknowledged you, thank you, Honourable Members, I understand your order, but can we allow the member, because she was totally out of order.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. You covered me greatly. And I just wanted to say, you've mentioned the privileges. Honourable Pandeleva has got that privilege when she arrives late. She actually gets an opportunity to question her, saying, you've arrived late, so you can't question. She's got an ample time to question, and I think she was out of order to say that, you always thought of not to listen to her. Thank you.
One last thing. before we adjourn until the further notice, which is about next week, to come again. I appreciate and I am very happy about our progress we made in the House when we debated our report. I appreciate that, and we like to hear all the views. But I also do to want to make one plea as a chairperson of the Portfolio Committee. When we meet as an extension of Parliament, I, as a chairperson, try to ensure that we are all accommodated, our questions, every other participation, because we are here to build a new South Africa, to work for the benefit of the poor. I must express my deepest worry and concern about what the incidents that took place. I know honorable members have a right to write to our chief whip and to whoever, whether it's the speaker or whatever forum, when they find themselves being gagged or not allowed to utilize their mandate as members. Honorable members, if we can look into whatever video when the minister was actually leading the presentation of our budget. I always believe it's our budget because it is for South Africans, irrespective of their political affiliation, race, creed, or whatever. The minister spoke about something very serious, the drugs, and what they do in society. The burst of laughter that was there. Yes, maybe it was targeted to show that we don't respect the minister, but it had a serious implication on how the honorable members think about narcotics and drugs. The question that was, it was Shadow Minister. The laughter was at best as led by Honorable Wilson. Best, and they did not only best laughing, they were saying ha 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 ha, to an extent that they even looked to their other members. But what I'm honest with, I'm not going to write to any complaint because I'm a person who never complains, but I like to engage so that next time, even if I'm a mocker as a chairperson or as a member of parliament, if you are mockering me, those people who are observers and the whole world that was watching will always think it was not about me, but it was about input. I remember this because we are going to a debate on the escalation of the scourge of the violence, rapes, you mentioned it, that is targeted to our vulnerable. However, central to that is the issue that somewhere, there will be drugs. Whether they are found in the industry where the incident occurred or traced, or whether that perpetrator was under that influence. But if the minister starts in a national parliament to say alcohol, drugs, then there's a belt of laughter. You, my friend, my sister, fellow South African, you can actually ask any person, not us here, just Uchi, Ibinyani left us here. So I am saying we would like to have an opposition. That's the democracy. And the truth is that. But how, if we can be able to argue against
regard you for positively or anything, but in a peaceful, non-hostile environment. I really make that appeal, and I wouldn't want, I'm not raising this for any question, and I'm not complaining, and I'm not at any stage will ever write to anyone to complain, because I think it's with me, and it's with the members of the portfolio committee, and if I'm out of order, such can be raised. Can I allow members to comment, not necessarily arguing to make things worse? Honorable Masango was having the hand up, and Mama Soledi and Mama Cole. Before I will adjourn, the other, sorry, we have reduced, we will not deal with the in-committee matters because we have overused our time. But I felt we'll miss a point if after we have had debate, we are not reflecting on this unfortunate situation. You are on the floor, Honorable Masa.
Thank you, Chair. And I want to acknowledge the reflection and assure the Chair that we are noting that. As I say, I do not remember it, but I never laugh anyway in the house. So I will be talking to my colleagues about it. But the thing that I actually raised my hand for, I was suspecting that the chair was bringing the meeting to a close, and there was a question that I had asked earlier on that had not been responded to. That is why I was raising a question even while the chair was speaking. But I do note the issue of mocking that the chair is referring to.
Honorable Mama Toledi.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think I'm one of the people that was very angry when the incident happened. And I'm worried because there's going to come a stage whereby we'll be just like other parliaments in the world, that you go straight to a person and you use a bonus alarm, but you can even go in Chachalazen now. I was very angry, Chairperson. Chairperson, I want to say, as much you are saying, you are not a person who'd want to complain, you want bilateral. But I think we are at a stage whereby now you need to follow the right processes, because this is not for the first time that incident has happened. This is not for the first time. It has always been happening, and I'm worried it's still going to happen. Because in my analysis, as a member of the ANC, I felt that it's no longer like that. Even in my debate, I said it, that it's no longer about the ball, now it's about the man who's hitting the ball. Because the level of the hatred that you see, it's not about the debate or the engagement that we want to put South Africa forward. Other people have gone to a level of personalizing issues. And it's not like Singamabala, I think I won't want to talk about it. But we respect the positions that we have been given by the organization, because we are the leader of society. But it doesn't mean that because we are the leader of society, we shouldn't come out and condemn things that are not right. They are not right, even at the level of the portfolio committee. Sometimes you feel that the vibes that are there are the vibes that are really not about the issue. It's unfortunate that because the minister is entrusted with the social responsibility. And social responsibility is a lot of things. It's a lot of things that she needs to raise in her budget statement, which is a policy statement that tells everybody that this is what the department is going to do moving forward. But those issues, that one was a showstopper. They laugh and everything. It was, my daughter at home, because when I'm going to debate, I tell my children that, please, tune in. I'm going to be debating. My daughter at home, when I arrived there, she just said, but the environment that you are operating with, it lacks professionalism. Mm-hmm. It lacks professionalism. So I'm pleading with you now that if you have to complain, Chairperson, you need to do that. Because you don't know when it's going to stop. Maybe when steps have been taken, then people will be able to understand that we are here to hold the executive accountable, but we don't have to be rude. We don't have to show the level of hatred. We don't have to show all the things that have been shown, Chairperson. I'm really persuading you. I understand Namzi Mkhize, Chairperson, but everything has got a limit. It seems as if issues now have been taken out of the limit. We can even provide the
those things are live. I've got a recording. My children recorded it at home because I wanted to watch myself after all the processes. So if I have to provide that, I can take it and provide it to Parliament also because it's there in my house on Parliament Live. It was so bad. When you look at it now, seated at home, when we are seated there, we don't see all of these things. But when we are sitting in my comfort of my sitting room, I could see that. But this is a good debate, but the problem is the attitude, the hatred that is being shown. You can see the hatred in the faces of the people. You don't have to speak to a person.
But I'll agree with our colleague. This is the extension of Parliament, and that this matter should be taken seriously and escalated to what should go to. Because I know with the last, with one of our visits, when there was just a little mistake that we did as chairperson and the what. It was taken to the deputy chief was by the DA and were called in a form
yes,
of order.
Speak to your mind.
All right. Now I'm speaking. Yes, it was taken to the deputy chief was and we were called in on the issue. So I agree that it should go through the right directions. And I feel disappointed while we are trying to resolve our, challenges that we have in this committee that the Honourable Fana Mayor just walked out and the meeting is not closed. She comes in late and she just leaves. I don't know for what. But yes, it's a form of disrespect. And then the other thing too, there was a reporter sitting next to Honourable Fana Mayor, therefore I wrote you a letter. Because we may not have any reporter sitting next to any member of Parliament. And that we should observe. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Honourable Dad.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to say as well that the mocking was disgusting. It was extremely disrespectful and disrespectful for all of us sitting even there as members of Parliament. But I do think that we should make an apology to the Minister and to the Department just as ourselves in terms of having been in that room at that time. Because we would not like that to reflect on the rest of us. I do know, as my colleague has just said, it is exacerbated by other members, not members sitting on the committee, but other members of their party being extremely rude and disrespectful. And so maybe taking it to the whips would be a very good idea, because the whips would then be able to perhaps bring some order beyond that the members here perhaps can't do themselves.
Always helps to hold the bull by the horns. I fully agree with the members that we need to be taking necessary steps, but I can actually plead with you, honorable members, that let's give a process, because we want to talk to people. People just said themselves wherever they were in this country, and that's why I'm happy. Because I've been receiving calls that members of Parliament undermine alcoholism and drug use. But what I think, let's allow the process, Honourable Masango, to take it back to her party so that we can sit together and talk, and then we can take this matter up to say we have had a resolution, we have resolved. Let's not elongate it, because I don't want to see it as a matter being reported, because we want to resolve and build each other. And maybe when we are in committee, how we have been able to actually attack and offend each other will help us if we talk about it, because we must talk about it. I understand the process. I could have immediately gone to the chief whip and say, this is what has happened. But I also want to be very supporting of the view of the Honourable Dabi, that Honourable Minister, you hear what we are saying.
saying, and we'll also take you into consideration when we want to talk with the opposition and talk about this matter. Because sometimes judgment is not a first thing. What helps is how you engage and go forward and change a person. Honorable Madilo, because we want, I'm making this very proposal that I know that good, but I also, as the leader, as leadership, we need to actually lead a process that we can resolve our matters in our way. I'm not undermining you, honorable members, but I'm actually acknowledging that you are the leader of a society. And when things go wrong, you must go back, reflect, talk about it. But if someone says, I didn't do anything wrong, then you can say, we can prove you that we can go beyond. So let us give this opportunity. But the minister will be constantly informed as to when we want to meet and discuss this matter. Mm-hmm. The last appeal is that, will we decide to sit even on weekends? Maybe we arrive early and have a late meeting. I'm seeing the agenda that is in front of you, the program itself of these stakeholders, because we must meet them in time. But when that is going to be happening, indeed, you will be taken on board. But meeting with SACO, meeting with the Reserve Bank, added service provider, and probably many other people, because we would want to clarify issues that get shouted out there. So with all that, can I therefore thank you for attending, and also to say we have had a good meeting, and then wish you farewell for now, because we are, oh, not, can we leave that question there? Okay, what does it have to change anything now, so that I can accommodate you? But, okay, let me allow you, I don't want to gag anyone.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's also on the wet streams. Member Masango, last week I said that we had written to the National Treasurer. They have not come back to us, so I don't think that I'll be able to do anything before they come back to us, because it was clinging on the issue of the response from them that will to whether we terminate or we carry on with the work streams. It is them that is going to determine that. They've already declared the issue of irregular, but the reasons given for irregular, some of them were not happy about. So that's where we are as it is right now. Okay.
If I remember well, as a chair, the response of the minister that day was to say, indeed, they have received the correspondence, which was dealt with the administration, and would be forwarded to the minister. And the minister was adamant that she believed some things were not taken into consideration when the letter was written. And further said, if we can, we must also look into the work streams did, and also the work streams themselves, which I say in the pipeline, there are a lot of stakeholders that we need to talk to, building our country going forward and ensuring that all are equal in this country and forget the bitter pang and be prosperous. Can I be the meeting is adjourned?